Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Here's my worship. Come on, sing. Take joy. That's good. Make it your dwelling place. Wanna put a smile on your face. I breathe in my heart. That's good, people of God, say. I breathe in my life. And I love this part, it just says, so here's my worship smile. Here's my life, Lord, smile. Come on. Here's my worship smile. Here's my life, Lord. You got it, raise it a little louder now. Say, here's my worship.
Here's my worship smile.
Come on, raise it before him, say it.
Here's my life, Lord, smile.
Oh, here's my
worship smile.
Give it all over to you, Lord.
Here's my life, Lord, smile.
Come on, shout that out one more time. Here's my worship.
Here's my worship smile.
Come on, raise it before him, say, here's my life, Lord.
I don't know about you, but I want God to smile over my life and everything that I do for him to bring him glory and honor. On tonight, I am so excited because we are back to Church Unusual tonight. And right now, we will have on a special guest tonight. I'm doing something a little unusual tonight because tonight was supposed to be our book showcase. But tonight what we're doing is we're actually going to do Church Unusual, and we're going to have on a very special guest. She is going to be hosting an event here in Newark, New Jersey, and I am so excited to be going to the event, and I'm so excited to be talking about this event because I believe it's one that definitely needs to be talked about. It is for an issue that needs to be talked about, read about, learned about within the church, and that's why it's on Church Unusual, because a lot of times we don't talk about a lot of stuff, and I want to talk about those things that usually we don't talk about in the church. So I'm excited to have on the air with me tonight, I will be having on Miss Melissa Holmes. She will be coming on, and she'll be talking about the event that she's going to have on her on Saturday, and that's going to be December the 19th. And as soon as I figure out what is going on with the broadcast, because it just seems like everything's a little wacky right now, and and if somebody could let me know if I'm on the air, because it's just a little wacky right now. I can't really see anything on my so if you can just hit me up on my cell phone or even if you can just, like, say, Cynthia, I can hear you on Facebook, like, inbox me, because I can't really tell, because when you're on the phone, you really can't tell. So if you have my telephone number, just say, yeah, you're on the air, or inbox me and say, yeah, you're on the air, so I know that you guys can actually hear me, because my station was a little wacky doodle there for a moment. So I hope everybody can hear me. I'm going to read Melissa's bio right now. And the group that she has. And Melissa Holmes' bio is such. After surviving two abusive relationships, Melissa Holmes started Love Shouldn't Hurt as a secret group on Facebook. Ms. Holmes was looking for an arena to vent, post, and provide support for people who have also suffered abuse. LSH started with about 30 members. This group is now over 1,000 members worldwide. So I want everybody, thank you, Melissa. I want everybody to know that I want everybody to know that abuse is not just here, or it's not just in your community, or it's not just in your area. Abuse is everywhere. It is worldwide. It knows no color. It knows no denomination. It knows no ethnic group. It knows no age. It knows nothing. So we cannot believe that it's just happening in America. No, it's happening all over the world. Don't let me get on my soapbox about this. I'm sorry. Calm down, Cynthia. Love Shouldn't Hurt is given a sense of purpose through our daily prayers and supportive posts, motivating people to leave abusive situations and helping victims heal after abusive relationships. There has been occasions where LSH has assisted victims escape from their abusers. Since 2010, LSH has encouraged, enhanced, empowered, and elevated domestic violence awareness in our forum. LSH is now campaigning against domestic violence in communities by paying it forward. What we receive inside of LSH with combined acts of service and support. And I am so honored, and I say this all the time for all of my guests, I am so honored to have as my, co-host, Miss Melissa Holmes. Please, let's give her a round of applause as she comes on the air. Excited to have you, Ms. Holmes. I like to give everybody applause. Somebody did that to me, and it was like, oh, I was like, wow. So I like to do it.
Yes,
for everybody
that's
else.
How I felt just now. I was like, wow.
So
I've
welcome,
never had that
welcome,
before,
welcome.
So I felt like, ooh. That was nice. That was a beautiful touch. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. As my sister, of course, I applaud the queen as she walked into the room. Yes. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And can you just give everybody a little bit of your background? As co-host, we'll be going back and forth. So give everybody a little bit of your background and why you started LSH.
Well, I started LSH about, it'll be 6 years, actually, in February, because I was into abusive relationships. And it became, after I survived the last one, it became evident to me that, you know, others were probably going through the same thing and thought, just like I thought, that you're alone. No one will understand. And so I wanted to create this forum so that it became a safe place for people just in case they wanted to vent like myself, and there was a no-judgment zone. Because we all know that when speaking to people about domestic violence, they always sometimes just don't know what to say at that moment. And, you know, it's domestic violence is sort of shunned upon because everybody has their own judgment of what they feel you should do, how you should do it, what you should have done, but they really don't understand the dynamic of someone that has been abused. They don't understand from someone that has been abused their sense of thinking, because there's things that happen when you're in abusive relationships and your thought process is totally different as if you weren't, and you're completely sane, and you're completely coherent, and you know exactly what it is that you're doing. So your mind is cluttered because you have all these things that's going on, and at some point, you may have to go into survival mode. whatever survival mode would be for that individual at that time. And so I know for me, it became therapeutic for me just to be able to create a forum so that I can go in and I can vent myself, because I was angry. There was things that there was questions that I had that I didn't have the answers to. So before I can go and I can tell someone that this is what happened, because I know they're going to have a million and one questions, so I have to be prepared to answer these questions. So before then, I have to try to figure these things out myself. And so when I created this group, you know, I just went in and I started posting. I was angry if I felt like I wanted to curse or whatever it was. And then I realized that the more I wrote about my feelings, about how I was feeling, I couldn't believe I was in this situation, not once but twice. You know, I had all these different things, questions thrown at me that I needed answers to. And so at some point, I believe it might have been about 4 or 5 months into it, I decided to open the group up so that others could be able to, you know, get in. And to my surprise, you know, people started requesting to get in, and I went from like 30 members to like well over 1,300 now. But it's, you know, it became, when they came in, I guess they saw what the group was actually about. And so I created this safe place. And honestly speaking, I don't really know how I created the safe space. I think they became comfortable because I started to share my struggles with domestic violence. So once I became comfortable with sharing my story, you know, I guess others felt like, you know, it was nothing to be ashamed about. And, you know, although I did get some slack from quite a few people saying, oh, you know, well, why would you post that? And I go, I don't even understand why you're mad, because it didn't happen to you. But, yeah, you know, like, I don't even understand, like, why are you mad? Because these things happen to me. But, you know, the more they try to discourage you and, yeah, you try to put it on the back burner and not let it bother you so much. But I was determined that I had now found my sense of purpose. And although I had to go through the things that I went through, that I now found what it was that I wanted to do. And, you know, although I never questioned why he let me live, I'm thankful that he did. And so I look at it as though I got a second chance to give back and help others and share my story and let them see the mistakes that I made, and they can learn from that. So I felt like, okay, this is a way I can help those that are in need and those that are struggling with going back, and, you know, they don't understand why they're going back. And I share my story. I think you're going back because, and, you know, at some point I was like that too. You're afraid to be alone. And so when I got to the point that I was no longer afraid to be alone, that my well-being was just as important, and I had to learn how to adjust to being alone and just being okay with being with oneself until I was strong enough to move forward. And so I took advantage of that. And so once I was okay with it, I decided that I wanted to give back. I wanted to help others to understand, to educate them, and, you know, to let them definitely know that it's nothing that you did. I never want anyone to feel like, oh, well, I deserve to be hit. No one deserves to be hit.
Yes.
And, you know, there's always some history behind some of the things or why some of the abusers do some of the things that they do. So, you know, once I, you know, got out and did some self-evaluation, you know, things became crystal clear about the last two relationships. And, you know, I was able to dissect and realize some of the things, what were going on that I didn't see when I was in those relationships. But now I look back and I go, ooh, God, how could you have missed that? These were, you know, I try to educate and tell people that these are, it's not necessarily all the time that there are signs, because these were two relationships that no signs in the beginning, none. It wasn't until we were in the relationship for a certain amount of time, or there was a something happened to trigger something in them, and they just started acting. For my husband, it was at the minute we got married. We was together 5.5 years before we got married. And the minute I said I do, he started to display things that I had never seen in the 5.5 years that we dated. And then the second one, things were fine for the first 2 years of the relationship. That relationship lasted 4 years. He was good for the first 2 years, and then I ended up getting pregnant, and I had a miscarriage. Something about that miscarriage, his energy shifted, something happened, and he was no longer himself. And I started to see a change in him after that miscarriage. But, you know, like I said, you don't always see signs, but I tell people always go with your gut. If he does something, if he raises his voice and you feel uncomfortable, then maybe, you know, you should not dismiss that and put it on the back burner and say, oh, you know, well, he's just upset for the man. No, that may be a sign that he could have some abusive tendencies or something. Just things that you just need to clearly be aware of. By all means, be on your P's and Q's at all times, because you never know. You just never know. And so that's what motivated me to start the group.
That is so great. And I think that for those of you who are listening, those who will hear this in the archives, please be very mindful of the people that you surround yourself with. A lot of times, especially for those who have been in homes where, you know, someone yelling at you is an unfamiliar. I know for me personally, certain things are very unfamiliar to me because that's just not the household I grew up in. Like I tell people all the time, I didn't grow up in a household where my mother and father cursed at each other and they didn't curse at us. So if somebody was to curse at me, it was very unfamiliar to me because, and I would automatically think something was wrong because it was very unfamiliar to me. And when that instinct kicks in for you, that something feels unfamiliar to you, that is your, honestly, I believe, your survival instincts kicking in. It is telling you it's time to retreat. It is time for you to go away. And so you have to, instead of ignoring it and going, oh, he's mad at the moment, you have to really evaluate where that came from. Did that stem from nothing? You know, because a lot, and I won't say just women, because men do this, but women do this too.
Absolutely.
There are women who are very abusive. And so women, we're not necessarily prone to hit men, though I know women who do hit men, but we have something to me that is just as deadly as a man's fist, and that is our mouths. Our mouths to a man can be just as cutthroat as if a man took a knife and cut your throat, because we can say things and get to a man better than anybody else. And so, you know, when you feel like somebody is taking you to a very unfamiliar place and you're feeling uncomfortable and that survival instinct kicks in to retreat, truly retreat, leave then before it becomes a situation where you have to find your way out. I am not a survivor of domestic violence. I've never been in that situation. I grew up with that situation when I was a child, but not as an adult. But my sister went through it as a child and also as an adult. And as a sister of someone who did not survive domestic violence, I just want to say that the one thing I do find, and I'm pretty sure, and you just spoke on it, is that you will find that people victimize the victims a lot of times. People will say to a victim, well, why did you stay? When he did it the first time, why you ain't do this? You know what? If I was there, I would have did this. I would have did that. We can always play the best if I had game, or if it had been me game. And we don't understand that when people are going through domestic violence, it's not, that's not what they need to hear. They need to hear encouragement. They need to hear support. whatever you thought you may have done, you don't know what you have done or would have done because you weren't there. So, you know, as Melissa has already said, people have done this actually on her Facebook page, made comments that were like, well, why did you allow that to happen? And that, to me, is just victimizing the victim again about a situation that they were in, because nobody knows what anyone would have done in that situation. And so the one thing I do want to talk about, and I really want to get into this, and if there's anyone who's going to be there on Saturday, if you're on the line, and I know that you have two other, I believe, people who will be hosting. If you're on the line, just, you know, press the one button, and I can bring you on if you want to come on and talk about it. But I do want to talk about your event this Saturday.
Absolutely. This event Saturday is going to be amazing. I started this seminar in October, actually October 24th. And so I was presented with this opportunity to do this seminar for this organization, and because it was Domestic Violence Month. So I came up with the concept of what it was, and From Pain to Purpose fit me, and this was my new chapter. So I have now moved on in the last 6 years. So I felt like that was me. You know, I had so much that I can bring forth to this seminar. And so it did really well when I did it on the 24th. So I proceeded to seek sponsorship in other states to, you know, so that I can get the seminar there. And so someone reached out to me in Jersey. The seminar is going to be amazing. You know, it starts off, we're going to have a panelist. We're going to start, you know, I'm going to share, and there's going to be some back and forth just to see exactly what people actually know, or what are some of the myths that they think about domestic violence. You know, one of the myths I hear a lot when I'm doing speaking engagements is that I hear people say, you've had to see signs in the beginning. You've had to see a sign. Everybody has this thing that you always see signs. They always show themselves in the beginning. And I go, no, that is not always so. Because in the beginning stages of dating someone, you are trying to impress the other party. So you are necessarily not going to let anything show in that period of time that you're trying to get to know one another. Now, I would say when you get past that year mark or year and a half mark, it's usually when things, because now they've either got comfortable or you've both shared enough with each other that you feel like, oh, he feel like he knows your weaknesses, or you feel like you know his weaknesses, and then, you know, it's just, it goes back and forth. So I tell people, honestly, do you think that if I would have seen signs in the beginning in either one of those relationships, do you honestly think I would stay? No. No one asks to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to stay here and I want you to come. Just hit me. Just hit me. That would be crazy. You understand? So I tell, no, I did not see any signs. Now, with that being said, when I did see signs, we were already 5 and a half into the relationship, getting ready to get married. We were already 2 years into a relationship, and I had a miscarriage. You know, so that's one of the myths. And, you know, I ask these questions at the seminar. There's, you know, some questions that I ask to see exactly how much it is that they know about domestic violence. You know, what? Because domestic violence wear many tags. What are some of the tags on domestic violence? We all know the physical. Everybody always says physical. They always say emotional. They always say mental. And then they get stuck. There's many more tags. A lot of people don't know. They don't speak upon it. There's financial.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they never say anything about financial, you know. So you have elderly abuse.
Yes.
Although we might not be elderly, people don't talk about it, but it happens. And so it's just a seminar that I share my personal. I'm extremely transparent. You know, it's raw and it's uncut. There's things that I say that no one has actually heard, maybe my partner or those that follow me and go to events with me. But it will be, there will some things that I will share that will actually be a shocker. I get, excuse me, I get so raw in this seminar that I touch on mental illness. So,
oh, okay.
Yes, it gets, I touch on mental illness. Because I think it's extremely important that people see that although you think I'm together, and now, this day and age, I am, but I wasn't always like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to walk them through the things that I had to do to get to where I am today. But by all means, it was not easy. It wasn't easy. There was times... You know, I shared that there was times I thought about taking my own life because I could not see at the end of that tunnel. So I get completely transparent. There's some other things that's going to be a shocker that I share, you know, and I'll open the floor for them to ask questions about my story, and then I have this panelist of people that are actually going to come and they're going to share. We touch on different things. We go from child abuse. You know, we have some men that are actually going to be there. So it's going to be a great workshop seminar. I'm looking forward to it. We have lots of raffles, beautiful raffles to share. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing educational event. I'm sure people are just going to leave and be like, because there are going to be some things. My panelists is going to get transparent and they're going to be raw. And I think that that's what everyone needs to hear. Everyone always sugarcoats what happened to them and they don't tell exactly what happened. I can understand, you know, when we do radio, we're only limited to say a certain amount of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things you want to leave to the mister, and you go, well, she left me hanging there. I wonder what happened. But, you know, there's some things that we really can't say on radio, and I understand that. But I think the thing that made the first seminar so successful was the fact that I was raw and uncut. And I think it was unexpected. There was a shock factor because no one was like, ooh. They could not believe. And so it was my time to bear all so others could see the transition from where I was 6 years ago to where I am now.
Well, I can't wait. I will definitely be there.
Yes, it's going to be amazing.
And I am truly excited. That's why I wanted you on the show. I wanted to try to get you guys some light into this, especially since it's going to be right in my neighborhood. And I definitely want to get out there. Like I said, I believe that this is a matter, honestly, we could talk about every day. We could talk about this every week, not once a year. The light really needs to shine on this because I don't call domestic violence. I call it domestic terrorism because it really, that's what it is. It is a terrorist act that is done to our family members. And a lot of times people take it lightly. You know, it's a husband and a wife. Or it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and or and the one that most people take, I think, to me, a little bit more seriously than they will take anything else is when it's a child and a parent, or a child or if it's a child involved. A lot of times people don't take it as serious until somebody gets really, really hurt.
Absolutely.
When people will go, oh, my gosh, really, that was going on? And I'm always like, well, you didn't hear the screaming next door, because that
was
abuse. You know, I mean, when he was yelling and screaming at her for an hour, calling her every name out of the book, you ignored it. But when she came out of the house with a black eye, now all of a sudden you realize what was going on. So we need to be very aware of what's going on, even in our own neighborhoods. And I say this because I am a pastor in the church. I said
Absolutely.
This before. My girlfriend would go to church. She was married to a minister, and she would go to church with bruises on her face, and she was the first lady, and nobody said anything.
Absolutely.
How do you sit in church with bruises on your face and nobody say anything because he's the pastor? You know,
and
so,
you know why,
you know,
also? Because no one wants to get involved. That's another thing that
exactly.
I have a problem with, that I try to stress, that if you see something, say something. If your gut is telling you something is going on, then something may be going on. But I'd rather be safe than sorry. I would rather call the police and have them come out here just to investigate rather than sit here and not do anything. And that's the problem
exactly.
that I have, because when I was living in Baltimore, I can remember there was a time that I went running down the streets of Baltimore hollering and screaming that this guy was after me and he was going to kill me. This was a summer day, and there were people sitting out in front of their houses, and nobody did nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. That was not the first time. The second time it happened, I had my nose fractured in the street. Right before my birthday, 1 year. And people full of in the street. My birthday is in July. The streets is full of people. And nobody tried to stop him. Nobody held him for the police. Nobody as much as called the ambulance. I called the police. I called the ambulance for myself. And I went and I sat up, brought my birthday in. When midnight hit, I was sitting in a Bronx emergency room. Nobody did anything. And so I vowed that when I see something, or if I hear something up over me or in my hallway or wherever I am, I'd be the first to go, and I'm looking out. And my son go, Mom, don't. I go, no, something is not right. Because I know what it feels like. I've been on that other side. Nobody wants to get involved, and that's the problem. Everybody should get involved, because it's not just one person's problem. It's everybody's problem, because you never know. It might be your niece. It may be your sister. Hell, it might be your mama, a cousin, somebody. And I always use this example. So in other words, you're telling me I should not get involved, but it would be okay for me to get involved if it was a family member of yours. And so then everybody gets stuck like, no, help me understand what you're trying to say. It's not okay for me to help somebody else, but it would be okay for me to help a family member of yours if I saw them out there being hit or whatever. I think that's stupid. That you feel that I should pick and choose who I help. And that's the problem right there. Nobody wants to get involved.
That is so true. That is so
yeah.
true. And I know that a lot of people would say, well, I don't want nobody to know. Well, you know what? If they didn't want you to know, they wouldn't have did what they did for you to even know what was going on. If he's yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, he didn't care what he was saying. He didn't care what was going on in his house. Or she didn't care what was going on in her house. She didn't care when she went out there, slashed his tires, and busted out his windows in his car. She didn't care about none of that. So if you call the cops on them, what difference does it make? Because they didn't care. You know, and they could say, oh, it was the heat of the moment. Who cares? I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if your anger is going to stay where you are. Like I say,
Absolutely.
A bullet has no address. And somebody who's angry, walking around in rage, if you come outside, the next thing you know, they might bop you upside your head. And you,
it only takes a second.
Exactly. And you was the person who was just going to walk away, and the next thing you know, they done knocked you upside your head. You became a victim of just walking outside your door. So we can no longer, especially now with everything that is going on, just ignore our neighbors next door. There was
Absolutely.
A time when we all knew each other, and we have gotten to the point where we don't know each other anymore. You better start knowing who you live next door to.
Because Absolutely. Because you never know when you might meet them. You never know when you might meet them. You're absolutely right. I think it's crazy. I mean, you know, I think people get involved with the wrong stuff sometimes, things that really matter. Like this is I can't understand how someone that lives in your community or lives in your block or even in your building that you pass by every single day, whether it's going to work, whether it's going to school, whether it's just going to the supermarket, to the laundromat, wherever – you speak to this person out of courtesy every time. Hi, you know, how are you? But if you heard her out there screaming, you would not go to her defense. That just is crazy to me. I don't understand it. And, you know, and I share, I get people to see the mistakes that I made, and I try to reinforce that, how them keeping that they're in that situation to not keep that a secret or ask anyone else for that matter to keep a secret like that because that was my mistake. These were not relationships that were hidden, but no one, no family, friends, nobody knew that these things was going on in my home. Why? Because I learned to adapt. So when I would get up in the morning and it was time to go to work, I'm pulled together, you know, bruises on my body, but I would cover them up because I have on my blouse and whatever. And then I would get on the other side of that door, and I became just like every other person leaving out in the morning, going to work, going to school or whatever. When I got off from work and it was time to go home, this dark cloud or something would come over me because I knew what I was in for when I got home. So I learned to adapt. So for many years, family didn't know. Because when I got around them, as far as they know, everything is just, But no one knew how hurt what I was going through and how hurt I was in the inside. And because I asked my kids to keep this secret and the last relationship, that last relationship almost killed me. He choked me 10 seconds and within me losing consciousness. And I would have died with that. In silence, because I asked my kids not to say anything. Because I grew up like that, my mom would tell me, whatever goes on in here, the sister upstairs, the brother down the street, nobody needs to know. So I find myself as an adult instilling that in my kids. And that was the wrong thing to do because he almost killed me. So they would have never said anything. If he'd have killed me, that would have been the only time they'd have had it. And it's too late then. I'm dead. There is no use for that information then, because what good is it going to do other than to try to get him arrested? And so I reinforce the importance of people not to keep things like that secret. And the things that people on the outside, like you were saying, how nobody really paid attention to the first lady in the church, to be mindful and pay attention to if someone is withdrawn and really doesn't, you know, these are things that people need to start watching out for and start to asking questions.
Yes.
If you feel that she cannot talk, invite her out to dinner or for drinks one day and just you and her. Make her feel comfortable enough so that she can tell you what's going on. So this way, if something should happen, you already got the drop. You already know.
That's it.
Yes. Yes, people need to be more mindful and watch people's body language, and if they isolate themselves and really don't, you know, ain't into being sociable like they used to, and just, you know, you notice they act differently when they're around their other counterparts, and she's speaking and he interrupts and he got to finish her sentence, like she can't talk for herself. These are things that people really need to be mindful and really need to be looking out for. Because those are clear signs something is not right.
And
if he is not hitting her already.
Right, he's going to.
He is going to. That means he's controlling. He's controlling what she says. He's around her because he wants to monitor what she says. These are clear signs that people need to really, really be mindful. They really have got to be mindful that this has got to stop. And the only way that this could stop is that we get people to continue to speak out against domestic violence, but we also have to get involved.
Yes, we definitely
We can't
do.
Just
we
say,
definitely.
Oh, pff, that ain't none of my business, or well, she probably did something to deserve, oh, really? Because how would you feel if that was your mother and nobody did anything? And they said the same thing. You said, oh, well, your mother probably did something to deserve it. I don't even want to get involved with that. Then it would be a problem. You see, and I think there's, you know, they have this double sense. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, I also stress the importance of when somebody actually comes and tell you that they are faced with these struggles of domestic violence, nobody wants to hear. So why you didn't leave, just like you said? Oh,
right.
You stupid. And I tell people all the time when I'm guest speaking, you never know why someone stayed. You never know someone's situation. And so I share with them my last experience. I could have clearly, after I saw that things had gotten crazy after the miscarriage, I could have, if it was that easy, I'd have got my son and I'd have left. But that man told me, if you leave, I'm going to kill your kids and your mother. I don't know if this man is bluffing. So now,
right.
What do I do? Do I take my chances in leaving? And he makes good on his word. And let's see, my son is here in the house with me, so it would be easy for him to make an example out of DJ first. Or do I just stay here? Because it's clear that all he wants is just to be able to have his hands on me and have me around. And so in the minds of somebody that has been abused, I stuck around. Because in my mind, I figure as long as I'm here and he's going upside my head, my kids and my mom are safe. So I stayed for 4 years until I was capable of leaving. I had to set things in motion because we all know you just can't make no sudden decisions that you're just going to up and you're just going to go, because most homicides, happen after you've left your abuser. So I had to make sure I had a safe place for me and my kids. You know, in case something did happen. It's just so much to be educated, and the whole dynamic of domestic violence. And you're right, it shouldn't just be in October. It's every single day it's happening. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And
absolutely.
I think that the reason that it's getting worse is because it's not something that's talked about. Is hidden, and it's not something that it is because it's domestic. I will honestly say that. Because we say domestic, because it's behind closed doors a lot of times, because we don't see it, and we may see the bruises and we may hear the noise, but we just feel like that's somebody else's problem, that's somebody else's situation. We don't want to get involved. And I want to say that on Saturday, on December the 19th, at Kay's Lounge, it is 197 West Parkway in Irvington, New Jersey. They're going to be doing, Melissa and her friends will be having From Pain to Purpose, My New Chapter, and it's going to start at 1:00. It's going to end at 4:00. And I would really like, and I will not emphasize this enough, that everybody that is involved, especially for those of you who are part of any type of domestic violence, as far as it goes, organization, whatever, whatever, if you're a part of it, that you be out there. And whether if even if you're not, if you are a woman or a man, you need to come to this event. If you are available between 1 and 4 on Saturday, you need to be there. You need to hear what is going on in your neck of the woods. You need to hear what's going on with women and men. You need to hear how you can get involved. You need to hear how you can help your community. Knowledge is always power. The more knowledge you have about a situation, the more powerful you become. And maybe before you might have been scared, and you're going to walk into this room and you're going to find out that there are so many people who are either dealing with this situation because they have been involved with that situation, or they are advocates who are helping people get out of the situation. Whatever it is, you're going to see that there are people out there that whether you're a victim right now or you're a survivor or an overcomer, you will have encouragement, you will get enlightenment, and you will be able to maybe find resources that will be able to help you. So I cannot stress enough, it's just 5 days away. It is Saturday on the 19th. It's going to be in Irvington, New Jersey, at Kay's Lounge. You can go on Melissa Holmes' website. If you are listening to my show in the archives or you listen to my show right now, if you go on the event page of my page, which is Cynthia Robertson, you will see that this has been posted. It has been up for a while. You can actually say that you're going, and don't say you're going and don't show up. Actually come out and participate. And don't be one of those people that, oh, my gosh, it's 1:30, I can't go. Yes, you can. You can still go at 1:30. You can go at 2 o'clock, you know. But
absolutely,
please make your presence known. It is so important that the community get involved. Seeing that, like I said, this is something that needs to be done every month. To me, every day, there should be something posted about domestic violence. As I call it, domestic terrorism, and it needs to be one of those things that is talked about within the church, that it opens up the door, that we begin to start kicking the door wide open to all the things that are happening and stop just acting like it's not there. My girlfriend did make it out of her domestic violence situation, thank God. She had family members that were able to get her out of the state and her children out of the state, and she was safe and secure for 5 years before he even knew where she was. That's how much they protected her. So you don't know who would be on your side. You don't know who would have your back. But if you never open your mouth, or if you never let somebody know, I need help. And I'm not saying that as soon as you say, I need help, somebody needs to grab you up. I'm saying that at that moment, you need to start planning. I need an escape route. I need to be able to get out of here. Just like the slaves did in the Underground Railroad, ain't nobody just jump up the next day and go. No, you got to plan. So you have to make a plan on how to get out. And so you might meet some people there on Saturday that can help you make your plan, make your escape route, and get you the information and get you in contact with people who can give you that information, because, like I said, knowledge is power. The greatest way to stop any type of craziness is to get the knowledge of the craziness and learning how to get away from it. And I know we have people online, so I don't know if anybody wanted to ask a question. You don't have to, but if you would like to ask a question or just, you know, say hello to my co-host tonight, I know that I believe it is Mrs. Warren was in the chat room, and I asked her.
That's my partner.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me read off what she put in here. Okay, the panelists are Ms. Renee Michelle from Maryland, Mrs. Tina! Oh, my gosh, it's Tina Lane. I know Tina. Mr. Eric Williams from Pennsylvania and Mr. Matthew Carter from New York. Oh, so you got mail, too. I love it. I love when men get involved. I love it when men get involved. Yes, this is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And thank you, Mrs. Warren, for putting that information in the chat room. Thank you so much, because I asked her if she wanted to speak, but she said, not if I don't have to. But thank you. If you can put some more information about it, I would love to hear it. I know that you guys are going to have raffles. Oh, and let me throw this out there. I have two books. I will donate my books
awesome.
For the raffle. So I have two books. So I'll just donate my two books to the raffle. One is called I Am Leah, When You're Sick and Tired and You Need a Right Now Praise. And then the other one is that You're Cordially Invited. That's my first novel. But I'll donate both of them to help. No problem.
Thank you
help,
so much.
With the because this to me is like this is my life mission right now is to do everything I can to promote us knowing more and more about domestic violence. I say this all the time. I will never be silent again. I will never ignore the signs. I will never be that person that sees you're in pain and not speak to it. I will speak light into your darkness. I will no longer
Absolutely.
Allow myself to sit. And I even got something planned that hopefully in April I will begin to do something at my own church on a Wednesday where I will have women come out and I'll do an encouragement circle where I just have women who have survived and are conquerors or actually in that situation and just come together and get encouragement. Sometimes you just need to know that there's somebody else out there. That you
mm-hmm.
really are not by yourself because that's the one thing that abusers do, and that's male or female. They try to keep you isolated and keep you in that mindset that ain't nobody going to care about you, don't nobody care about you, and they keep you isolated from all those who love you. And so when you get around a group of people and they show you love because they've either been through it, they have survived it, or they have overcome it, it makes you feel more encouraged and it makes the steps a little bit more easier. So
absolutely. One of the things I also, I stress is that, you know, if you want somebody to open up to you and tell you that these things are going on, you have to be mindful about what you say, what your comeback to them is.
Right.
Because a lot of times all we just want you to do is just listen. We don't
listen.
Want your feedback. We don't want your feedback. We don't want you to say, you know, what we should have done. Because you know what happens to someone that has been, they will shut down.
Yes.
They will shut down. They won't tell you anything ever again. They will not trust you because you said something to make them feel like what they were going through or what they went through was their fault.
Exactly.
Sometimes all you need to do is just listen.
Yes.
And at some point say, you know what? I don't really understand how you feel, but I feel your pain right now. Just let them know that they're not alone. That's all we want. Because, see, it's a real turnoff. As soon as we say something, you go, girl, if that was me, I'd have left. I don't even know why you suck. Right then and there, a person will shut down.
Exactly.
And just walk right on away. And then, see, then you'll feel bad if you're looking up at the news and something happened a couple
exactly.
of hours later, and she just tried to tell you about 4 hours ago, but you so busy about what she didn't do, and you stupid for staying, and you this and that, and now she done went home, and she done committed suicide.
Right.
Or he
exactly.
done, or she done went home, and he done killed her.
Right.
Sometimes less is better sometimes. Just listen without judgment. Without saying anything. They just want somebody to understand.
Stand
for that moment
yes.
that they are not alone. Learn to embrace them. Put your guards down. Even if you want to say something negative, don't say it at that moment. Just embrace them. Try to understand. Try to put yourself in the other person's shoes for just a minute and feel what they're feeling at that moment. This person is sitting here and thought enough of you to sit and bear all. They're probably embarrassed. It probably took a lot for them to come because they know what others are going to say. They know how others are going to look at them. But when somebody thinks enough for you to want to share something as deep and as personal as that, just listen. Just listen. Hold her hand and walk her through it. Just let her know that you're there for her. If she needs to talk at 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you sit on the phone with her till the sun comes up. She just wants to know that someone is there, especially if she hasn't had anyone there. The worst thing you can do is to say something to not have them to open up to you and want to tell you anything. That would
so
be a
true.
Big regret.
And that's one that I can honestly say I live with all the time. And that's why I guess I am a big advocate on shutting up. Don't speak what you feel is true. Speak
mm-hmm.
their truth. Their truth mm-hmm. is right now I am in this situation. Your truth may be you need to get out, but their truth is I'm in this situation. I don't really need to hear your feedback. I'm in this situation. I need you to hear me. And
absolutely.
If I'm listening to you and you're coming to me in that way, then I, even if I may want to say something, keep my mouth shut and then maybe start preparing you to leave. Let me go and get you a toothbrush. Let me go get you some toothpaste. Let me go get you a dress. Let me go get you a pair of pants. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be something major. It can be little things so that she knows that if I ever walk out that door, I got somebody who got me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make this phone call for you. Let me find out, instead of you calling, him being able to trace that phone call and find out you was calling this hotline, I'll call the hotline from my house. Or I call a hotline from my job, and I'll find out what you would have to do to get where, do what. And then when you feel comfortable and you want to know, then I'll tell you, you know. And I have learned that that is so important. You have to listen. A lot of people hear stuff, but they don't really listen. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
what somebody is telling you, they are telling you sometimes in a roundabout way. They're not going to outwardly say, my husband's beating me or my wife
absolutely.
Is hitting me. But certain things that they say, if you're really listening to the conversation,
mm-hmm.
they are telling
you, can
you
pick
I'm
up
going
on
to
it.
Do this.
Absolutely.
And so, and then you can just pick up on what, I mean, 2 months ago this person was happy and go-lucky and everything's great, and now they were talking about how wonderful this person was, and now that conversation has changed.
Mm-hmm. And see, what people don't understand also is that you definitely have to learn how to pick up on certain things, because if you are at an event together and you notice that she is not usually like that, and he's around, or y'all are off somewhere just speaking, and then her whole dialect changes as soon as he walks up. Something, she is trying to hide something. There's not so much she can say to you, because she knows that he is always watching. He is always listening. So she's trying to give you subtle hints. And you have to know, be smart enough to know that, okay, you know, that whole conversation just went left. Like, we were just in, like, he walked up and just like, ooh. Something is clearly wrong. She's either scared of him. He probably done intimidated her. She's probably walking on eggshells to try not to make him mad because of what he may do. It's a million and one things that can be going on there. It's a million and one things that can be going on. The most common thing I hear people say, why they don't want to get involved, well, why am I going to get involved? Because all she's going to do is turn around and go right back to him. Yeah, I hear that all the time. Why should I get involved? I'm going to break them up, and in a couple of hours, she's going to be right back with them. And that very well may be so.
That's
because
right.
It says it takes an individual about 7 or 8 times before they actually leave. Unfortunately, it took me one, and I was gone. I was out of there. But everybody ain't Melissa.
Right.
And that very well may be that it's going to take her. You can go break it up, and she, 4 hours later, she's going to be right back with him. So what? And who knows? The next 4 hours, she's going to come back out, and they're going to be at it again. So you're not going to get involved. So you're going to see him bashing her face in. And your reasoning for not breaking that up is because why should you? Because if he don't beat her to death, she ain't going to do nothing, be right back with him in next couple of hours. I hear it all the time, Cynthia, and it's disgusting. It's almost like, so in other words, you say to me, because the way I interpret it, and you rather see him beat her because you know she's going to be back with him in a couple of hours. But my question is, suppose he one lucky blow and she don't make it for the next couple of hours.
Right.
Then what?
Right.
Then so exactly. What do you say about that? Because that can happen too. We all know it takes one good blow to the head or wherever, to the temple, wherever. However he's hitting her closed fist, I mean, it doesn't matter. One good blow can put her right out of her misery. Then what? That means you sat on the sideline and watched him deliver that blow that killed her. You stood right there and watched it. So to me, in my eye, you become just as guilty as him. You become just as guilty as the man that drew the blow that killed her. Because you sat around and you watched it. And ain't tried to attempt to do nothing. Not even as much as call 911. And I hear it all the time. All the time.
Hopefully, as we get more involved, I will say.
Absolutely.
Honestly, and let us begin to let that change. You know, I don't want that to be another sister's story that, you know, I had friends and we went to work together and I told somebody and nothing ever manifested itself and nobody helped me, or
uh-huh.
somebody saying at their sisters or their mothers or their aunts or even their uncles
uh-huh.
A funeral that, you know, we all knew this was going to happen because, you know, they would fight all the time and now, you know, it was a gunshot later or it was a knife wielding later that all of a sudden we're sitting here at someone's funeral. So we definitely don't want that to happen. And
absolutely.
Let me say this again. For those of you who don't know, this event is 5 days away. It is going to be on Saturday, the 19th, and it's going to be at Kay's Lounge, and that's 193-197 Western Parkway, Irvington, New Jersey. It is going to be a wonderful seminar and workshop. It's going to be on domestic violence, and it is called From Pain to Purpose, My New Chapter. If you know anybody that is suffering with domestic violence, somebody who's come out of domestic violence, or maybe you have conquered it, you are now walking.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Please come out to the event. It is going to be a great event. I believe that everyone will enjoy it. Don't let rain or snow or whatever just stop you from coming. It is an indoor event, so there's no excuse.
Absolutely.
They're going to have a wonderful panel, and I'm so excited because usually when you go to domestic violence seminars and workshops, a lot of times all you see are women, and if you see men, a lot of times it's a police officer. And so it would be nice to see someone other than a police officer. I'm not knocking the police. I would love to see you there if you're going to be talking or whatever. But it would be nice to see gentlemen talking about this very real issue. So I hope that you all will come out and be a part of this event. Melissa, it was great having you on the show. I'm going to have to bring you back so we could talk some more. And I hope that, and I say this to everybody who hasn't written one, who has survived and conquered their situation, is I know you got a book in you, so hopefully you'll write a book to go along with what you're doing. And I know you're going to take a little rest after you finish doing everything, but, you know, let that just ponder in your brain.
Yes, ma'am, I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
you
Cynthia.
No problem. You want to have last words before we go off the air?
I just want to encourage everyone to make sure that they are at this workshop seminar. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will leave enlightened. You will have more knowledge on what's going on with domestic violence and very educated on the many, many tags and what they hold and how people should get involved. I just want to encourage men and women, couples, whatever, teens, by all means, whatever they need, it's everywhere. It's hitting everybody. It's even in the schools. Everyone should come out to this seminar.
All right. Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and see you then.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay.
Have
Welcome.
A good one.
You too. And I want to say to everybody that stayed on the lines, thank you so very much. I look forward to this event, like I said, and I'll say it again, From Pain to Purpose. My new chapter is going to be at K's Lounge, 193-197 Western Parkway in Irvington, New Jersey. That is just right down the street from my house. And once again, it's between 1 and 4. I didn't say this before, but let me say it again. It is a free event. You do not have to pay for this event. And for all you people who need to know this, there'll be light refreshments and raffles. I don't need to know that. I feel like I'm going to get so much from the seminar and the workshop. I don't need the gimmies, but, you know, some people do. And they're going to be talking about emotional, spiritual, financial, and psychological abuse besides for what we already know, which is the physical and also sexual abuse that happens when you talk about domestic violence. So I hope that we will see you there. It's open to both men and women, and please, no children. They are going to be talking about some very, very serious intimate probably, and maybe it is not appropriate for children to listen and hear about. So please, if you have small children, please don't bring them to this event, but definitely please bring yourself. It's only for a few hours, I would say 3 hours of your time to learn about this and get involved and take this back home to your churches, to your job, or at least have the information available, because you don't know who's around you who is suffering with this, dealing with this domestic terrorism, as I call it. So please take this opportunity to come out and be supportive of some sisters who have gotten together and decided that we needed to know. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Please be encouraged. We're getting closer and closer to Christmas, and we all know that Jesus is truly the reason for the season, so let's keep Jesus in the season. And Jesus was all about loving your neighbor. So let's make sure we love our neighbors. And if you haven't spoken to your neighbors, start speaking to your neighbors. Know who you live next to and say hi. I wish you the best. God bless you, and we will see you next week.